And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to It's Finally Freaking Here. We are 72 hours away from the season, Luke.
Here we are indeed once again with games back. We are sponsored by the Goal Line Club. If you're not familiar with the Goal Line Club, you probably haven't listened to this podcast before. And that's okay. Welcome. We're excited to have you join us. The Goal Line Club is a booster club for the University of Minnesota. Check out what they have to offer on goalineclub.org, which, by the way, they actually have a free event on this Friday, which is going to be October 23rd at noon. Go to their website, Goal Line Club, for more details. Otherwise, stick around and we'll talk about it again later. Again, goalineclub.org.
What a tease. It's almost like we've been doing this for years now, and we're getting just a little bit okay at it.
Just a little bit. And that's totally off the cuff, by the way. But Ryan, guess what? We have solicited for reviews, and we're getting reviews. Eight reviews this last
week. That's wild. We're up to 280 crazy people have rated and reviewed this podcast now.
Five stars, all these five stars. So I don't know if I believe any of these people. They like it, but I don't trust their judgment and rating products. So, but here we go. Cove 25, great podcast on all things Gopher football. Thanks, Cove 25.
Thanks, Cove 25. Bob Lab. I'm sorry. If your last name is Lab, I'm sorry. Gives it five stars, says, great listen to cure my gopher needs. The podcast gives me a lot of great information. Let me try that again. This podcast gives me a lot of great information on the team recruiting and also the details about the game schemes, routes I never knew about, and I can appreciate the honesty they give rather than all homer takes. Luke, we just got called non-homer people.
That's nice.
That's going to make some people, I think, a little bit angry who think we only view this team through maroon and gold color lenses.
Yeah, that's true. I like how you left this next one for me, which is,
I had to. That's half the, that's you half really the set, bit now for people listening to this podcast.
You really set this up. So Chris, please tweet at Luke Buer or at Ryan Burns if I am totally off on this. Chris Oikers? Oyakers? I'm not positive.
O-E. So it's O and then Elkers, but there's no apostrophe.
Yeah.
Oikers? I come across some very interesting names in recruiting, and this one's up there.
That's up there.
Good for you, Chris.
Okay. Excellent pod. Great knowledge about football and the Gophers and the Big Ten. Great knowledge. I appreciate that affirmation very much.
I Evans 07, or maybe it's L Evans. I'm not entirely sure. Five stars. Great show. Love the show, but they routinely misinterpret betting lines. Oh, looks like we're going to learn something here, Luke. -3 towards the home team doesn't mean Vegas thinks it's 50-50. It means the teams are even, and home field makes it more likely, greater than 50% chance, that the home team will win. It would be a toss-up, even betting line, if the road team was viewed as a three points better than the home team.
So okay.
Did we understand that? Are we on the same page?
I think I learned something today. Also, by the way, I do think the line is 3 in favor of Michigan as I looked most recently. So I guess these are viewed as a toss. This game is viewed as a toss up. So interesting. Okay.
No. Hold on.
So did I hear that wrong?
It would be a toss up if the road team is 3 points. So maybe it is viewed as a. Yeah, I think you're right. But he ends up with saying, hopefully this is coherent. It is I Evans 07. We're just not smart individuals, Luke.
I think the better part is I don't bet all that often. So
I don't do college football lines. I do some DraftKings and some other different things. But by the way, if you want to hit me up on DraftKings and take my money, just slide into the DMs. But
yeah, right.
Hopefully it's a minor complaint. But I want it read on the show, particularly because the Gophers are in this neighborhood against Michigan next week.
That's fair.
He knew why.
Okay.
Because he left this a week ago and he says, roll the boat, Sky Imago Gophers.
Okay. So let's get to this next one, which this
your
person's,
guy here.
Yeah. He is intentionally trying to get me to screw up his name, which I'm going to work really hard not to. His name was I Love My Horse Tucker. Okay. His horse Tucker. Elite Podcast. Hey, hey, are the Heating Coils still underneath TCF Bank Stadium? Did the Vikings take millions of dollars when they ripped them out and left? Good question.
I appreciate the bit. I love horse.
I do too.
Tucker.
That was really good. Horse. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. I almost screwed that up. Okay, Ryan, you got the next one.
All right, I got T Money Sign 14, 5 stars, Elite Podcast. Elite Podcast that incorporates great gopher info with excellent bits of unintended comedy, and including this one. And for the low, low price of $1, you can enjoy the podcast even more when you pair it with a Gopher Illustrated subscription to maximize all the gopher info that you would want. Thanks, gents. I didn't even pay that guy. I don't even know who that is. He knows how to get that little plug in there. Thank you, T Money Sign 14.
Okay, MN Slay 0014, 5 stars. Love the GI insight. A must listen for any Gopher fan looking for knowledge about maroon and gold. Can't get enough of the recruiting info. Hope for more episodes as the season kicks off. Well, thank you. Yeah, hopefully. If you're not a GI member, you know, MN Slay 0014. You could join.
The last one we get to read tonight, 8th and final one. And if you want yours read next week or on Sunday night, leave it between now and Sunday night, is from a GI member named Diehard Gopher. 5 stars. The only podcast I listen to. I literally only am writing this so I can be featured on the next podcast. It's almost like that was the intended consequence of writing the podcast. Didn't even think I would know how to leave a review, but I was determined to figure out. I guess my only feedback would be I often find myself skipping the music and small talk in the beginning, although it sometimes can be interesting. I mean, Luke, I'm not going to stop doing small talk, and we're not going to stop putting music in the front of it. So
let's be completely honest right now, Ryan. We're going to have to tweet that we basically just spent 7 minutes reading reviews. So we'll have to let people know that we wasted their time. And if they want to get to the content, they'll have to get to the content. Most important.
He ends it with saying, by the way, this is the only full podcast I ever listened to aside from those 10-minute clickbait YouTube clips of other podcasts. So I guess if you can find a way and find the strength to get through hopefully just 40 minutes of Gopher talk tonight, maybe 30, I get long-winded.
Yeah.
That is your prize. So, again, thank you to our 8 new reviews. Again, we want to hear from you. So if you want to have us read you on the next podcast, leave one on the Apple Podcast platform.
All right. So what's happened since the last podcast? Well, small detail. The Gophers are going to be like the first team to ever host back-to-back home games with College Game Day. I mean, that seems to be a thing.
I believe they're the fifth, if I remember the statistic correct, or whoever found this out, Minnesota now becomes the fifth ever school to host back-to-back home games. Because if you remember right, folks, that Wisconsin game last year, College Game Day was in town for that. Now, I know the outcome wasn't very good for what Minnesota wanted it to be, but College Game Day is back because they had such a sensational time in Minneapolis last time around, and that's thanks to probably a lot of these listeners, Luke.
So, like, honestly, there have been other schools that have hosted back-to-back home games. Like these are literally back-to-back home games for the Gophers. That's happened before? 5 times?
Apparently that's okay. What I remember.
Wow, I'm so surprised.
It got announced over the weekend that Minnesota Michigan College Game Day is going to be in town. So that means Herb Street. That means Chris Fowler. That means the whole kit and caboodle, Luke. But do you know what the big disclaimer attached to that is, or I guess the asterisk?
Yeah, I do know. And it's been like this all season. No fans allowed. Wah, wah.
No fans allowed. And I cannot stress to you enough that I need to get this public service announcement out there. Stop blaming the governor that College Game Day is not allowing fans. It's a College Game Day thing. They are not allowing fans at any of their College Game Day sets this year.
Right.
So I remember when I tweeted it out over the weekend when it got announced that College Game Day is coming to town, I had probably 30-something people complaining about the governor and COVID, and I'm not going to get into all that kind of political jargon, but it's a College Game Day's decision, not Governor Walz.
Yes.
Not Minnesota, so none of that. So direct your hate mail and tweets to College Game Day.
All right, just some minor details for those who are interested and who haven't been on social media. The show will be taped from 8 to 11 a.m., and then Fowler, Herb Street, and Taylor will have the call for the game that evening. Your signs can still be featured, but you got to be quick in getting that done. You can drop them off between 5 and 8 on Thursday night at the Tribal Nations Plaza outside TCF Bank Stadium. So if you have ever wanted to make a Gopher Gridiron Radio podcast sign...
Yeah, that's what they want to do with their time and money. By the time they listen to this, let's make a Gopher Gridiron Radio sign.
Or if you all want to put my Venmo on a sign, that's fine too. It's Luke Buer. Let me spell that out for you. LukeBuer. You can send money there. Also, if you request money, I'll reject it, but I probably won't see it for a long time. So go ahead. Venmo
drop
on a sign
off those
for me.
Signs. So if you want your signs featured, you got to be quick, because by the time you're listening, this is probably Thursday morning, maybe Thursday afternoon. If you get home early from work and the kids want to potentially have their signs, you got until 8 p.m.
Yes.
On Thursday night to drop them off at the Tribal Nations Plaza outside of TCF Bank Stadium. And by the way, they are recording from inside TCF Bank Stadium. So if you thought that maybe if they went back to the quad out there and you could sneak onto the set, you're not going to be able to. So college game day, though, back-to-back home games, exciting things are brewing, Luke.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the updated roster. This was a talker on the Gopher Illustrated message board this week. I actually spent some time on that message board this week, and I learned some of this information. No, feels good. I did, and I feel better for it now. I was very disappointed to learn that
You're not going to have a strong and powerful time.
Yeah, well, I was going to make that joke, but you nailed it already. I was going to try and say his name, Melly Kruder.
I think, yeah, my German. I never took German in high school or college. I was a Spanish guy.
Yeah,
but I believe it's Melly Kruder. Who's the 2020 defensive end that Minnesota signed from Germany? Was here for spring ball. He's no longer listed. He's gone. He's not coming back, folks. Gopher Illustrated members, this is the worst kept secret, I think, in Gopher football land. We've been talking about it, I think, since March before he left. And he's not coming back. This is not COVID related. This is not civil unrest related for what's happening in the Twin Cities here. It's just something that didn't work out. Minnesota tried to see if they could find a diamond in the rough. It didn't work out. They're going to get the scholarship back here this fall, and they'll apply to their 21 class.
All right. And then let's just touch on some other names here. Basically, everybody else is a walk-on. Clayton, I know you're doing this for me because you want me to read names, and I kind of hate you for it, but whatever. It's the bit. Walk-on quarterback running back Johnny Santaga? Stanaga?
Yeah. Johnny Santag.
Santaga?
Johnny Santaga. Now you have me thinking of overthinking this.
Sorry,
this is where we're at now, Luke.
Okay,
I think he might have been a spring game MVP candidate at one time.
Okay,
was a quarterback, was a running back, no longer on the roster.
All right, tight end Clayton Witherspoon.
I believe he was an Eden Prairie native, and yeah.
Okay, walk on Danny Anderson,
another Eden Prairie native,
and then linebacker Alex Strazanti.
And he was on special teams last year. I believe he was on kickoff unit. I think he had a season-ending injury happen in November.
Okay.
So I'm hoping it's not injury-related that kept him out, and he just decided this is something that he doesn't want to continue. I don't know.
Sure.
Either way, those are the four names from the updated online roster.
I love this bullet that you've put on the show notes, which just says weight changes. And I know that we're talking like almost everything is up and maybe a couple of them are down and all that stuff, but just the general idea that we're talking about 18 and 22 year olds weight is always funny to me.
Trust me. I mean, my job is talking to teenage boys and then to 40 to 50 year old coaches about the teenage boys. It's weird. You just have to accept it. And it's part of my life that I have embraced in year 28. The only things I'd really kind of note here from the weight changes, if you want to get a full list of it, it's free on Gopher Illustrated.
Is it $1 to join?
Just $1 to join. And by the way, I don't know what you're waiting for at this point. because it's 3 days away from the game. We have Jacob Schuster news. We have Minnesota hosted a virtual visit with a committed elsewhere Power 5 defensive lineman today. News that's in the 2021 recruiting thread. For those of you listening to this and thinking, I didn't see that. Well, it's in the 2021 recruiting thread. You might have to go back a page or two. And, yeah. So, anyways, what I want to note from some of the weight changes, Gage Keys is the biggest weight gainer on the roster, which is a good thing in his aspect. I wish it was a good thing when we gain weight like this. He's up 30 pounds somehow in 7 months. He's up to 280 pounds. He is a true freshman defensive end. He's up to 280 pounds. He's likely going to be mixing in on Saturday behind Asezi Otemiwu. I mean, I think that's notable. Terrell Smith is now somehow 215 pounds. Everybody's favorite second string corner that they're still waiting to see come to fruition. I don't know. Did you see the Gopher football? You probably didn't. The Gopher football Instagram post.
Saw this and I almost texted you. He had miniature boxing gloves on.
Do you know why a DB would wear boxing gloves?
Because he's too crappy.
Because he's too grabby. It's almost like we've been talking about that. Terrell Smith is too grabby in coverage, and he needs to become more physical in the run game if everybody wants to see him. But it is interesting and noteworthy because he's now 6'1", 215, apparently. And straight line speed-wise, he's among the fastest on the roster. So if he can just figure it out, he's obviously got a very high ceiling in front of him. The only other one I really want to note is there was an offensive lineman who lost 10 pounds, and he's still 300 pounds. And his name is Tyler Cooper, someone that Brian Callahan, Minnesota's offensive line coach, is very high on. If you want his full and detailed thoughts on some of the young and up-and-comers, I did a piece with him on Gopher Illustrated. One is free, one's behind the paywall. All you got to do is search Brian Callahan.
All right, so let's get to injury reports. This is quite the week, really, when it comes to injury reports. Hold on,
before injury report, what is the bullet above that one, Luke?
Well, it's depth chart, but I mean, it's the same point. I'm sorry. You're correct. Here's the thing about depth charts and injury reports when it comes to Harbaugh and PJ Fleck. They are both masterminds at manipulation. Nothing is worth anything on either of those documents. So if you want any kind of speculative, you know, accuracy in any way, you have to go to Gopher Illustrated and check out Ryan's free depth chart.
Yeah, that's actually what we needed to hear.
That's actually true, though, because Harbaugh traditionally won't share any information. PJ Fleck basically will blatantly lie on some of those. Because
I get it, the whole gamesmanship thing, it's just annoying.
Again, yeah, right.
There's been discussions about this on GI because I've shared my qualms on this podcast and some of the subscribers are like, well, it's for the betterment of the team. Trust me, I get it. There's information that I don't share because it's for the betterment of the team. We'll get into that a little bit later. But like, if you're looking for a depth chart, there isn't one released from Gopher Football. So,
yeah,
it is what it is this week.
I do see a lot of the tweets that go to the podcast, and one of them, Ryan, is on the injury front. They want to know what's up with Curtis Dunlap and Daniel Faalele. You got any speculation? Ahead of them running out of the tunnel.
Again, something that has been discussed at length. I'll go for Illustrated. I'm rubbing my temples right now. I'll say this. I considered Curtis Dunlap and Daniel Faalele very questionable at best for the game this weekend. It's about what I'm going to say there.
Yeah, and
I've talked about it so much on GI that's about what I'll say there. And the same goes for Braylon Oliver. Don't expect him. I'll even come out and say I'm not expecting to see Braylon Oliver at any point this season.
Right. We've talked about that a lot.
He's had a significant injury. Back in the spring, he's only 6-something months recovered from it. Maybe he's back if there's football in December.
Mm-hmm.
But don't expect to see Braylon Oliver on Saturday.
Okay, let's talk about these Michigan Wolverines, otherwise known as Ryan's Fighting Jim Harbaughs.
I like the Killen khakis or the pleated khaki Slayers. I'm not entirely sure what I want to go down the khaki route, but I'm not going to do
that. Is he still the highest paid coach in the Big Ten?
I believe so.
I do too. And how many wins does he have against Ohio State?
Oof. It's almost like he's in a lame duck contract there because his contract only goes
right
through 21, which is very interesting for recruiting purposes.
Yeah, it is interesting, and also like sort of surprised he didn't jump back into the NFL when he had those chances a couple of years ago and ended up staying. But alas, here we are. He will be raking in a new quarterback, a mobile quarterback in Joe Milton. I guess he's not completely new, but I mean, it's his first year as a full-time starter. Thanks to basically, was it Dylan McCaffrey is transferring, right? That was the assumption that he would be starting this season.
I am so proud of the football knowledge that you're bestowing upon the audience right now.
Thank you.
You're on a roll. Keep going.
No, that's really all I got on the Michigan offense, other than I know a little bit about their quarterback.
I should have jumped in.
You really Dang screwed it. That up. When it comes to identity, I mean, this is a traditional Jim Harbaugh offense. It's more or less, a pro style. That's what I remember in years past. I don't know if he adapts to the players he has or not, but I'm assuming it's going to be a more or less a pro style offense.
Yes. The TLDR, and I'll get into it in my keys to the game, would be brand new quarterback. It's QB3 from last year. Shea Patterson, their starter from the last 2 years of quarterback, is gone, graduated. Their QB2, who is presumed to probably be the front runner for the job, Dylan McCaffrey, Christian's younger brother, he decides to opt out and transfer. So you're looking at Joe Milton. Now, this isn't everybody's normal quarterback three. Joe Milton is a very highly regarded prospect, someone that was a high four-star kid. It's going to present a lot of challenges for Minnesota because he is 6'5", 240 pounds, and he can run. And there's only he's appeared in 8 games in his career, but he's only thrown 11 career passes. So he's got 8 games of tape that none of it really matters because it was a mop-up time. You look at the skill position players for Michigan, they return their backs. But from talking with a couple of Michigan guys, they weren't saying that they're going to be world changers. They thought they were more so a product of the offensive line that Michigan had last year, and we'll get into that in a second here. I'll also note that the Wolverines lose their top 2 receivers from last year's team, and Donovan Peoples-Jones, who went to the NFL, and then Nico Collins, who was an all-conference performer for the Wolverines last year. He opted out, and he hasn't come back yet. So you're going to be looking at some new wide receivers there. And then finally, there are 4 starters from that offensive line for Michigan gone last year, Luke. All of them were all-conference. And they had combined to make 138 collegiate starts.
That's
a lot of football. And now replacing them is 17 total starts, and 13 are going to be from former Golden Gopher football commit, Jalen Mayfield, who opted back in. But my point being here, and Joe Rossi even talked about it today, is it's still Michigan. There's still 40-plus four-star kids on this roster. Right. They're very talented.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. And, traditionally the Jim Harbaugh teams actually have a very solid defense, right? And this is what they're going to hang their hat on.
Yes, and defensively, and something we talked about today with Mike Sanford Jr. We got both coordinators today with the media. If you want to read their thoughts verbatim, I transcribed all of it, and it's on Gopher Illustrated. Sanford's is for free. Rossi's is behind the paywall for you loving GI members. But a Don Brown defense is a very good defense, and it is one that Minnesota is going to have to face this upcoming Saturday. And it's one that I thought it was interesting when Mike Sanford talked about today that he's faced Don Brown's defense once. Now, it's interesting because Mike Sanford was at Notre Dame and Don Brown was at Boston College. Now, Notre Dame's offense moved the ball, but Don Brown's defense took away the ball a lot. So they have faced up once. I think the results are kind of mixed there, especially with the quarterback who I believe was Deshaun Kizer for Notre Dame when it was Mike Sanford calling the plays. But for this 2020 version of this Don Brown defense, this defensive line for the Wolverines is, I think, the best that Minnesota is going to face all year. And it comes from 2 guys, Aiden Hutchinson and Quiddy Pay. And they are difference makers. They play, as Mike Sanford would say, with incredible how, meaning that their motor is going all the time, and they're very athletically gifted. They're very physically gifted. And this Minnesota offensive line is going to have a very good performance if Minnesota's going to pull away with a victory here. But if Minnesota can just keep that defensive line in check, Michigan lost their top three linebackers from last year, Kaliki Hudson, Jordan Glasnow, and Josh Uche.
Sure, I think. I'll go with Uche.
And then they're also going to be without their top two corners from last year as LeVert Hill graduated. He was really good, really good player for them. Ambry Thomas was another all-conference cornerback for them. He opted out, and he is not going to opt back in. He's going to train for the NFL draft. And they're also going to be without all-conference safety Josh Metellus from last year as well. So they're losing a lot of talented guys that played some pretty significant football for them in their back seven. And so that's where you can see if Minnesota can just hold the defensive line in check, Minnesota's offense should be able to put up points. But the other thing, and the thing I'm going to stress just like I did when talking about Michigan's offense, yes, there's inexperience on both sides of the ball for Michigan, but it's still Michigan and they still recruit very well. So even though the talent is very inexperienced, it's still very good physical talent.
All right, so before we get into your keys of the game, how about a quick ad read from the Goal Line Club? Again, they've partnered with us for this 2020 season, although it is going to be an abbreviated season. This week, unique opportunity to join one of their preview lunches. It's going to be free for everyone. Go to their website, goallineclub.org. Again, that's Friday, October 23rd. Obviously, there's a lot of history with the Michigan rivalry. It'll be hosted by Mike Grimm. This week's guest is going to include former Gopher coach Glenn Mason, who led the 2005 team to an upset to grab the Little Brown Jug for the first time in over 15 years. Additionally, they'll be joined by two members from the 2005 team, Tony Mortensen and Jason Gianni. Jason Gianni kicked the field goal to win the game. Other than that, you know, to be a Goal Line member, it's only $100. You're going to get a lot of financial benefits. You're not going to get financial benefits, but that money is going to go to the football program, who's going to benefit from that. Being able to give to like the Gopher for Life program, weightlifting equipment, heated benches for the sidelines, etc. Obviously, the athletic department is stretched. This is the year if you want to make a meaningful impact on Gopher football. Joining the Goal Line Club is a great way to do it. Again, sign up for the October 23rd luncheon on their website, goallineclub.org.
Nice ad read.
Oh, thank you. That's really nice of you. Really nice of you. You rarely compliment my abilities. Okay, Ryan.
You're changing your best. I got to make sure you know that you're doing an elite job. And
thank you. I do try and change my best from time to time. Let's get into your keys for this game before we get into the prediction. Obviously, you touted their defensive line, so I got to imagine you're going to talk a little bit about the offensive line for the Gophers and having to win there.
Yes, and that's my number one key to the game is if Minnesota's going to win this game, they got to win in the trenches on offense because that's essentially what it comes down to for me. I mean, when you look at Minnesota's offensive line coming into the season, they're going to have a lot of experience coming back, regardless of the status of Daniel Faalele and Curtis Dunlap Jr. Sam Schluter has started 23 games and appeared in 36 in his career. Blaze Andres has 26 starts. I feel very old for saying this, but Connor Olson has started 38 games in a Gopher uniform already. I remember sitting in the stands with Matt Limegrover at Monticello High School watching him play, and now he has somehow already started 38 games in a Golden Gopher uniform. And then the other one would be John Michael Schmitz. He's appeared in 26 games. So if you're looking at those four guys specifically, that's 91 career starts, and we're not even including Faalele or Dunlap because we'll find out their statuses on Saturday evening. So if Dunlap can't go, you're probably looking at redshirt junior Axel Rushmeyer sliding in at right guard. And if Faalele can't go as well, I'd imagine that your starting offensive line would look like this. Sam Schluter, left tackle. Connor Olson slides from center to left guard. John Michael Schmitz goes from the bench to the center spot, of which I think everyone listening to this podcast knows we're big fans of John Michael Schmitz. Blaze Andres goes from guard, right guard to right tackle, and Axel Rushmeyer slides into right guard. And to me, I think that's potentially an upgrade in some spots because I think John Michael Schmitz is a better center than Connor Olson. I think Connor Olson is a better guard than he is a center. I think that Blaze Andres is a better tackle than he is a guard. And then you also have Sam Schluter there. So it's still a really good, in terms of Minnesota standards anyway, offensive line on paper. But like I said, we'll find out more on Saturday about Faalele and Dunlap. But the bottom line is, Luke, whatever combination before Minnesota's offensive line is there, they have to be able to dictate physicality at the line of scrimmage, because Aiden Hutchinson is really good. He is a third team all performer last year. He's very, very good. Quiddy Pay, very explosive, very disruptive. Another all conference guy. And then Carlo Kemp is another all conference defensive lineman for Michigan that's returning as well. I mentioned this off the rip. I think this is a very talented defensive line for Michigan. I think they're the best that Minnesota's going to face all year. So if Minnesota's O-line could just hold their own, or hell, win up front like they did against Auburn in the bowl game, things become very explosive for the entire offense. Because we talked about that back seven for Michigan. Very inexperienced, no top three linebackers from last year. Both corners from last year and a safety are gone. Now, there's no doubt that their replacements are very talented, but they're also very inexperienced, and they're probably going to be playing a step slow as they try to figure out the speed of the game, try to figure out that they're making the right calls. So if the Minnesota Moving Company up front can open some holes for Mo Ibrahim, give Tanner Morgan enough time to survey the field, I feel very confident that Minnesota is going to be able to put up points on Saturday night. My second key to the game would be to attack that inexperienced quarterback and offensive line for Michigan, because Joe Rossi has to get creative and get after Milton. I talked about it already. Michigan loses 138 starts from their offensive line. Four all-conference performers from last year's 2019 team are gone, and behind them are very inexperienced yet talented offensive linemen. Now, this should sound familiar, Luke, because remember what the scenario was for Minnesota's offensive line last year. When Daniel Faalele, Curtis Dunlap, and the rest of those guys got inserted, do you remember how September went for that offensive line?
Yeah, it was a bit of a rocky start.
It was. And so if I'm Joe Rossi, I am hoping that we can throw stunts and twists and different blitz packages at them, because their communication is not going to be entirely very strong off the bat. And all I can remember about September's offensive line play last year is South Dakota State running twists and stunts, and Faalele and Dunlap just not communicating, and Tanner Morgan getting killed. So I don't think it'll be quite extreme like it was in that game. But if it is, Gopher fans, I think you're going to be in for a good night. Now, Minnesota's got seven starters from last year's team gone, including five of their top six guys, their top five tacklers, and five of their six guys from the front six. Now, I call it a front six. Minnesota's a base 4-2-5 team. It would be pointless for me to say who the third linebacker was, because Minnesota never really went to it. Now, Boye Mafe, Keontae Shad, Sezi Otemiwu, they're going to be the three new starting defensive linemen. We're filling in for Carter Coughlin, Sam Renner, and Winston Dilaidie-Boudere. They all played last year, sure. I mean, I'll give them that. They probably played 20-25% of the snaps as they mixed in. But now each one of them is going to go from 20%, 25% to 70%. You also have a brand new and inexperienced linebacking core with Thomas Barber and Kamal Martin gone. Mariano Sori Marin is someone that Joe Rossi is very high on. Said it again today with the media. He talked him up with me on GI. But he's the only linebacker that has any meaningful experience coming back. And I think it would be putting it kindly that he had an up and down 2019. So alongside him is probably going to be some combination of either Josh Ani or a bunch of freshmen like Donald Willis, James Gordon, Cody Lindenberg, or my second cousin, Jaquandis Burns. None of them have ever started a game at linebacker, but it comes down to this for Minnesota's defense. Joe Milton is very, very talented. Joe Milton has also only thrown 11 passes in his career at the collegiate level. Minnesota is going to have to contain him on the ground. He is very, very effective and efficient with his legs, and he's a big guy to bring down. I mean, think Cam Newton big. He's 6'5", 245. He's a big guy. But the best case for Minnesota here, Luke, is they get off to an early lead. That doesn't allow Michigan to run the ball, puts Minnesota's defense in more passing down situations so that Rossi can put Milton in tough spots where this defense can pin their ears back and say, Joe Milton, go make a throw. We got two very experienced corners in Coney Durr and Benjamin St. Juste, which is a revenge game, by the way,
right, for
Benjamin St. Juste. As Harbaugh tried to kick him out and get him to medically retire, he said, screw you, comes to Minnesota and had a pretty good 2019. So Joe Milton in 11 career passes in mop-up duty, has thrown two picks. I'm not saying he's a turnover machine. I'm not saying he's Kirk Cousins. I'm saying that he is very confident in his arm ability. I think Zach annexed in that respect, where Zach thinks he can really make any throw on the field. Well, Joe's got the arm talent to do that, but if you can put him pressure around him, maybe you can luck your way into a couple of turnovers. And then finally, Luke, the part I have been dreading the most with the Gopher football season back, my key number three is no special teams kerfuffles.
You know, it's a new year, Ryan. You know, we got to give them an opportunity, a blank slate. You know, we can't look to the past. We can only go forward with the future. We need to row our boat. So here we go.
I just want to give a few notes that I've taken away here, because 2019 was a disaster. But hey, it's a new year, so maybe things get better, right? Please tell me they do, Luke. Please tell me things get better for Gopher special teams, because Michigan special teams are really bleeping good. The kicker for Michigan is Quinn Norton. He kicked a 57-yarder in the Citrus Bowl and set the Citrus Bowl record. Minnesota, their long last year was 40 yards, and they only converted 73% of their field goals. Quinn Norton hit 77%. Advantage Michigan. Punter comparison. Now, this one's a little bit more difficult because Minnesota does graduate Jacob Herbers, who ranked dead last in yards per punt last year in the Big Ten play.
But technically, they have a more mature, seasoned punter now.
Yeah. Yep.
Age-wise
only. Australian punter Mark Crawford is going to take over for him. But the counterpart on the other side for Michigan, he's a two-time All-Big Ten guy, Will Hart, who led the Big Ten last year in yards per punt, 45.5 yards. And I didn't even know this was possible. Someone has been holding out on me. He had 15 punts over 50 yards. Is that legal to do? Because I haven't seen Minnesota do that in quite some time. 15 punts in one season over 50 yards? Bless my heart. Advantage Michigan in the punter category, unless Mark Crawford decides he's Pat McAfee. And then return game, Luke, Minnesota loses Demetrius Douglas, their primary returner. But Michigan led the Big Ten in punt return yards last year, and they were second in punt return yards per punt. Minnesota ranked dead last in punt return yards and dead last in return yards per punt. Michigan, a very good return team. Advantage Michigan. So I don't know what else there is to say.
I got
special teams. This is going to be a very tight game. Don't be the reason that Minnesota finally loses a close game, because you guys, I mean, I think back to the Purdue game, and I think back to the Northwestern game, where it was just a disaster. And Minnesota, just save me, Luke. Save me.
No, I think the thing that'll be interesting from a special teams perspective this year is, you know, basically everyone's a red shirt this year, right? So you're not trying to protect guys. There isn't any strategy in terms of who you're going to play, who you're not going to play. So you can put guys that you normally were maybe going to have to try and red shirt, or you wanted to red shirt, and they can play full-time special teams. So
you're making me optimistic. Keep going.
My hope is that they are able to put guys they want to put in that position, and they're basically putting, you know, the best athletes forward there. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
If coverage units are not improved this year with 9-10 games of Donald Willis and James Gordon, Cody Lindenberg, Jaquandis Burns, I mean, you name the special teams guy, or the young freshman. I mean, I'm throwing my hands up in the air and just thinking, one day I'll remember what special team adequacy looks like.
All right. All right. Let's get into some of the betting lines. Again, thanks to the listener who educated on this. One big thing to note is this game started and opened with Minnesota -2, and it moved to Michigan at a -3 now, where it sits right now on Wednesday evening. Michigan is a -3. So if you want to take that action, go for it. What I don't understand here, Ryan, a 5-point swing is a big swing. And I don't
know
of
a gigantic swing.
I don't know of any like what do better or what does Vegas know, or what do these bettors know that is going to move the line that much?
Well, here's what I'll say. Flex said with Mike Grimm and Justin Guard, I think it was this week, that there are some starters out with COVID. And that is true. And the starters are ones that I wouldn't think make 6-point swings. That's a gigantic swing. Like, and here's the other thing.
You just swung it back.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'll say. Flex said some starters were out. I think Flex said with us on Monday, the media, that there are some guys that are going to miss this game with COVID, but he's not going to tell us who. And I get it. I mean, I'm not complaining about that. But it's like, does he, like, when he says that starters are out, just in general, is he counting Braylon Oliver as a starter? Like, yeah, you'd project him to be a starter, but no one listening to this should think that Braylon Oliver's playing this season. If you've been listening to this, we've been saying that for months. Right. So maybe to the casual fan, I'm not entirely sure. The only thing that I can imagine is that Michigan fans just think they're going to roll into town and destroy the Minnesota, which, sure, that's a possibility. I don't foresee that happening, but that's a big swing. And I'll say this. Minnesota's going to be in some interesting looks on Saturday because of the COVID positives.
All right.
And, like, I'm not going to get into more detail. If you think that, again, it's just not the way it's going to go. So you'll see on Saturday. I mean, we'll see who plays, who doesn't. But that's the thing I want to stress here is every single week, folks, we're going to have no idea, including myself probably at times, of who's playing. Because it's going to be 60 minutes before the game. I'm going to be sitting in the press box. I'm going to look down, go through the roster, see who's out there, see who's not. How do I want to put this? Like, the NFL has an injury report, Luke, or they have a COVID list.
They have an obligation.
They have an obligation. PJ Fleck, Kirk Ferentz, Jim Harbaugh, they have no obligation to do that.
Right.
So we're all just, and that's just the season it's going to be.
Yep.
And it's going to be, you're going to have to be refreshing Twitter in that final 90 minutes beforehand, because that's one of the first things I'm going to do on Saturday night is go right down the roster, look at all the numbers, and then I'm going to tweet out, here's who's here, here's who's not, because we're not going to get to know anything about the statuses of people until after the game when PJ Fleck talks about it. That's just the way he's kind of addressed that this season.
Yep.
So welcome to 2020 football, where any game can be dictated upon who's there and who's not, and no one's going to know beforehand.
All right, so let's get to the weather. Obviously, at least in my house, I'm probably going to keep it right around 70 degrees. I don't know about you guys, but that's
I keep it at a balmy 63 right now.
Oh, man, that is pretty cool. You're a tough guy. I always forget about that. You got
it. You're the worst.
You're trying to rough it until for your deer hunting. Okay, but actually at the game,
on the ground first. You know, you're making me sad.
The weather does have an impact on the game, so we will preview this just a little bit. All jokes aside, looking like sundown is going to be at 6:14, so this game will be 100% under the lights. It'll be about 29 degrees at kickoff, and but the feels like will be about 25. It'll range by about the end of the game. Let's call it 10 PM should be about 28-ish degrees. Again, about 24, wind about 5 miles an hour coming from the northeast. I mean, this is good October
it's
football.
It's going to be cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be cold. There's going to be light wind. I don't
maybe
see
flurries.
The deep. Yeah. That's the thing is there might be some flurries. There might not, but either way, all that is, I mean, it's below average temperatures, no wind.
Right.
Let's play some Big Ten football.
I mean, it's, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's just going to be standard Big Ten football. You know, we're nearing November. You know, it's just that now we're starting the season. So let's get into the bold predictions here, Mr. Burns. What say you?
I say you go first.
Oh, thank you. So one thing that we didn't note is that ESPN's FPI, which is fairly interesting to note, has Michigan a 55.8% favorite to Minnesota's 44%. That is really a pretty even matchup.
And I think S&P has Minnesota winning this game outright.
I do believe you're correct. I don't have that up in front of me right now.
I think I remember seeing it today, but S&P's got Minnesota winning the game 30-27, all things being equal.
Okay. And the over under at Vegas right now is 55. So I picked the Gophers in our season preview. I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to go, I'll probably take the under on this, and I will go 27 to 24, Minnesota.
I'll go the flip side where I'm going to hammer the over because each one of these teams has had maybe 10 padded practices in the last 10 and a half months. And if you remember back to week one for the ACC and the SEC, or even just the last few weeks, folks, there's a lot of points going up. And you look at both defenses, there's a lot of starters gone from an experienced 2019 units for both teams. I think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. I would take the over on the 55. And I think the over-under is 54 and a half.
I see 55, but it could be.
Well, I predict the game to get to 55. And here's what I'll say. Minnesota hasn't beaten Michigan at home since 1977. Luke, we were not alive for that.
I was not.
Minnesota's last three wins against Michigan have all come on the road in 86, in 05, and in 2014. It's also going to be quite frigid for this game. As Luke said, 28 degrees-ish. It's going to be in the 20s. And in my season preview, or in our season preview, Luke, I predict this is a close Gopher victory, and I'm going to stick to my guns. Now, there are going to be a couple of players out because of COVID, but that's not enough for me to change my mind on this prediction. So if you're wondering about how significant is it, I mean, I'm confident enough that I still think Minnesota wins. It's going to have to be creative in spots, but I still think they do it because I think Minnesota's offensive line and their experienced people up front do just enough to give Morgan time, and that enough, for me, opens things up in the passing game against some green defensive backs. And I think Rossi's defense comes up stout in the red zone to force a couple of field goals for Michigan. And I think the little brown jug comes home to Minneapolis. Minnesota 28, Michigan 27. But I think this is going to be a very close game. We'll have to see again who's playing on Saturday and who's not for both teams. And welcome to college football in 2020, Luke.
Yeah, it'll be a good litmus test for the Gophers to start off. I do like this format where it is going to be all Big Ten games. It will make it very interesting. But as you said, you know, it could be some challenges starting for both teams, given they haven't had any tune-up games, for instance. But on Sunday, we will be back. We will review. We will review with Derek Burns this Gopher victory or loss, no matter the outcome. So expect the post-game breakdown in your feed sometime late Sunday night. Again, if you can rate and review the podcast, we do appreciate it. And as you noted, for the first 7 minutes of this podcast, we do read those reviews now. So any constructive feedback is appreciated. Again, we want to thank the Goal Line Club for sponsoring our podcast again in 2020. Thanks for listening, and go Gophers.